Gary Talheimer has been a record collector since 1942, a tape recordist since March 1954, and the author of articles and reviews going back to the Saturday Review of the 1950s, plus his monthly Gary Tal Music New Release Bulletin, annual subscription $59.95, for over 20 years. An ARSC member since 1990 and program chair of the New York chapter, Gary's first ARSC presentation was at the Rochester meeting in 1992. His major collecting interest is historic recordings and their preservation. To further this, he has made a $1 million bequest to the Sonic Arts Department of City College of New York to establish a graduate program and a tenured faculty position to teach preservation and transfer techniques. He will talk about Wagnerians in Verdi and vice versa. Please welcome Gary Talheimer.
Thank you, and thank you, Dennis. Gary is always a hard act to follow, and we seem to be doing this several times. First off, thanks to my co-presenter, Seth Winner, of Seth B. Winner Sound Studios, for his frequently and, as always, superb transfers of some of the poor-sounding material in this presentation. Stereo recording and the jet age were accompanied on the musical scene by a decline in the vocal specialist with abilities beyond their Fach, as the German word indicates, for the type of roles they were most accustomed to singing. Also, the unrelated development with unforeseen consequences, when conductor Carrion, then at the height of his career in the early 60s, was simultaneously music director of both La Scala and the Staatsoper in Vienna. His idea of using the same singers in identical productions in both cities eliminated, almost at a stroke, opera in the vernacular, which had been the custom in all countries except the United States, mainly at the Metropolitan Opera in New York, and at Covent Garden in London. After this change, a Wagnerian tenor like Wolfgang Windgassen could limit himself to Tristans and Siegfrieds all over the world, whether 3,000 or 3,000 miles away, and not have to substitute for an ailing colleague in The Bartered Bride when he returned to his home company in Stuttgart. Actually, I had been at that Bartered Bride and about 3 days earlier heard him in London and Siegfried. Likewise, Italians would no longer have to learn Wagnerian roles in their native Italian, distorting, as we know, the sounds that the composers heard in their minds, or import foreign companies for guest engagements. The other way around, in the case of Verdi, was to have star guests sing in their accustomed language, thus the Italian Gili as Radames in Berlin, or Björling and his Swedish versions in Vienna. Further afield, I once heard Gerhard Hüsch singing Don Giovanni in German in the Fujiwara Opera Company's Japanese language production in Tokyo. Let's sample Wagner by Maria Callas early in her career, when she fancied herself a dramatic soprano singing Fidelio, Kundry, and Isolde, plus her more usual Aida, Trovatore, and Lady Macbeths. Eventually, Tuyo Serafin convinced her that her natural forte was really dramatic coloratura roles, but here is a bit of her Italian language Liebestod in a studio recording. Track one. Thank you. As we can hear, her dramatic instincts are all there, though the sound is stranger than the Milden Lisa we're all used to. We also realize, as with some other sopranos who had the range but not the necessary power for Isolde, that even a Liebestod was not their natural forte. Lotte Lehmann, Crystal Goltz, Rita Gore, or Crystal Ludwig are good examples. They tried and gave it up. Let me apologize at this point for the brevity of this and other selections, an omission of singers like Fagoaga as Siegfried or Pertile, who sang Lohengrin but was best known for Radames. Unfortunately, the time limit on presentations just doesn't permit longer excerpts. As for Wagnerian sopranos, let's listen to Frieda Leider, perhaps the greatest Wagnerian soprano of our time. Early in her career, she was hired by Hamburg as their Wagnerian dramatic soprano. But her debut there was Aida, and this was followed by Fidelio before they could find a proper Heldentenor to partner her. Here is one of the Verdi roles she sang. Track two. Leider's great competitor and successor in the late 1930s was Kirsten Flagstadt, a late-blooming Wagnerian who never looked back at Italian opera once her Wagnerian talents were discovered. She was the reigning Brunhilde and Isolde at Covent Garden and the Met until she returned to Norway to sit out the Nazi occupation with her husband. In Kansas City, we should certainly mention Helen Traubel, who came from Missouri. Traubel did not sing much Verdi on stage. She had a huge voice for Wagner, but lacked the top C. So we come to a New York girl, Astrid Varnai. By an accident of birth, she is frequently considered one of the many Scandinavian Wagnerians. However, her parents were Hungarian, and she grew up as a New Yorker, commuting, as she put it in her biography, by subway to the Met. She had studied Verdi roles as well as Wagner, but her teacher and later her husband, Hermann Weigert, had coached her especially in Wagner roles. So her unscheduled debut at a Saturday matinee as Sieglinde was unexpected, replacing an indisposed Lotte Lehmann. And because of the Pearl Harbor attack, she got no headlines. The following week, she was cast as Brunhilde to replace Helen Traubel. A new Wagnerian star was born. But the Met management would not cast her in the Verdi role she wanted to sing, except the difficult to cast Maria in Simone Boccanegra. Instead, she became a Wagnerian workhorse, singing widely disparate roles within days of each other, like Elsa and Ortrud in Lohengrin. She did get to sing Verdi at other venues, including a Trovatore Leonora in Mexico City. In 1951, she made an aria LP for Remington with her husband in Vienna. Wagner, of course, but also several Verdi arias in Italian, like Leonora's other aria. Funny coincidence, incidentally, as a toddler, she first encountered Flogstad when Flogstad was singing in Ballo in Mascara with Vane's mother, Maria Yavor, as Oscar. Track three. With the advent of Rudolf Bing at the Met, she still got no respect, even though she again saved a broadcast. The Flying Dutchman, not heard at the Met for several decades, Ljuba Velić, the superstar Salome, decided center was not for her. At that point, offered only bit parts for the following season, Vanai told Bing what he could do with his contract and settled in Munich to also sing Verdi in Italian or German, especially Lady Macbeth, which was becoming a favorite Verdi roles of Wagnerians. As we gathered, Melchior had been spending most of his time at the Met and Covent Garden, having no use for Hitler, the Wagner family, or the Bayreuth musical politics. His chief rival, actually the only one at all comparable, was Max Lorenz. He had become Hitler's favorite tenor, as he was sometimes referred to. Siegfried was the epitome of the Aryan ideal, and Lorenz could sing the role better than anyone else on the continent. Though he was somewhat chubby, homosexual, he had been caught in flagrante in Bayreuth one year, and had deliberately married a Jewish woman to spite Hitler. Lorenz also sang a lot of Verdi, in German, of course, especially Radames, Otello, and Trovatore, and in Ballo. This 1952 live performance is not among his best, but still shows a healthy voice, not always on pitch, nor very subtle in Celeste Aida. Oh, wie sie können. Once past the fortissimo ending to the aria, he could relax and show more sensitivity in this duet with the Amneris of another Wagnerian, Margarete Klose. From the 30s till the late 50s, Klose was the best Ortrud, Brangäne, and Fricka, recording these roles multiple times, both commercially and in radio tapes. She was a superb vocal actress as well. In Verdi, she could even steal a performance with a cameo like Maddalena in Rigoletto, or as Ulrika. Svanholm was another Scandinavian tenor active in Europe from the late 1930s. He was a hoped-for successor to Melchior, but Svanholm was not a true Helden tenor, and by the mid-50s, his shakiness was obvious. However, he contributed several fine recorded performances. In his native Stockholm, he sang Radames, of course, in Sweden's Royal Opera in 1939, conducted by Leo Blech, formerly the Berlin State Opera's chief conductor, who had been ousted by the Nazis. In another Aida from Vienna in 1941, we have the leading exponent of Wotan and the Dutchman, Hans Hotter, here describing the Foresti to the Yugoslavian Danica Ilić. Torsten Rolf was yet another Scandinavian tenor, primarily in the lighter roles of Wagner, Parsifal, and Lohengrin, the role of his Metropolitan debut on the first post-war opening night. He was a leading Otello as well from the 1930s on, and at the Metropolitan, between Martinelli's retirement and Ramon Vinay's transformation from baritone to tenor. Lack of time prevents the inclusion of Franz Völkl, the finest Lohengrin of his time, and a sensitive singer of Verdi, even if they all sing triple forte at the end of Celeste Aida. Mention of him reminds us of another characteristic of Wagnerians. They love light opera and musicals. Völkl sang frequently in Strauss or Lehár, Melchior in the MGM musicals, which so annoyed Bing, and Max Lorenz sang Buffalo Bill as well as Wagner late in his career.
Die Bühne, die Lichter, die Menge, die Lacht, der Vorschuss auf die Dauer eines Jahres.
Die Sorgen um morgen, die Show, die Verkracht, die Pfändung des gesamten Inventars.
Das Publikum, das jubelt und dich preist.
Der Kritiker, der jede Show verreist.
Wie ist es ein Show? Wie ist es ein Show? Wie ist es ein Show? Wie ist es ein Show?
Du willst heute Abend dich betrinken, weil dein Liebchen gestern dich verriet.
Ach, du wirst dich trotzdem wieder schwingen und wieder singen das alte Lied.
Ja, so sing Komödien, denn ein halb Frau, ich bin halb froh.
Sind doch heute wieder deine Taschen leer.
Es gibt kein Leben, das schöner wär.
Wenn du bist ja reicher als ein Millionär.
Drum komm, bleib bei der Show.
There's no business like show business if you tell me it's so.
Ungesappelt galoppieren Pferde,
alles kommt in Zirkus zur Show.
Hinkend und mit linkischer Gebärde hüpft auf der Erde ein alter Clown.
Ja, so sind Komödianten, einmal traurig, einmal froh.
Menschen vom Theater haben Fantasie,
wo andere weinen, lachen sie.
Jeden Abend ziehen oder sterben sie.
Wir leben für die Show, wir leben für die Show.
And you'll notice Brenda Lewis's German accent. In conclusion, thanks again to Seth Winter, and thank you all for your attention.
Are there any questions for Gary?
Where do we get that last one?
Yeah. It's on a Melodrame, I think it's a Mito, disc of Max Lorenz. Most of it.
Okay, so it's not an Andy Ketchum gun, it's a Max Lorenz disc.
Yeah.
Ellen was right over here.
Ellen?
Is there a complete broadcast or recording of that? I'm terrible at writing. Is there a complete recording of that in whatever language they happen to be singing in at any given time?
I think there is. I don't know if it's with Lawrence, but I know Dan Langan played.
He would know.
Yeah.
Just audio or video?
The only one that I know of that he did was Annie Get Your Gun, or the German Annie Schieß los.
Any other questions?
No other questions? Well, thank you for being here for this very, very rewarding presentation.